Iraq no doubt deserves its status as a state sponsor of terrorism, but the urgent priority in the war on terrorism is not state sponsors, but failed or failing states. Iraq is in bad shape, but it is not failing. Sudan and Afghanistan did fail, and when they did, they provided an environment in which al-Qaeda fed and flourished. Other countries, such as Yemen, could yet provide this too, and still others that might resume it or pick it up, among them Sudan and Somalia. There is little evidence that state sponsors like Iraq and Iran provided al-Qaeda with meaningful assistance. Bin Laden was busy establishing terrorism-sponsored states and preparing to destroy the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and the White House, while state sponsors of terrorism were drawing relatively little American blood. What makes it so urgent to heed these differences between the Arafats of the world and Bin Laden, and between state sponsors and failing states, is the need for international cooperation in countering the jihadist threat. The United States cannot do it alone. This cliché becomes truer every day as American counterterrorism officials survey the foreign ports and terminals that ship cargo and passengers to the United States, and as al-Qaeda, or its successor, melts into the population in 60 countries around the world. Since 1998, the heyday of the Middle East peace process under Ehud Barak's Labour government, the jihadists have exploited the Israeli-Palestinian conflict to boost their own popularity. This stratagem has worked. The jihadists are seen as sticking up for Palestinian rights, while Arab governments do nothing. Direct, energetic U.S. diplomatic intervention would do much to take the wind out of the jihadist sails and make it easier for regional governments to cooperate in the war on terrorism by demonstrating American concern for the plight of Palestinians. The Bush administration has been reluctant to get deeply involved, in part because its officials think Clinton's move to get an agreement at the 2000 Camp David summit was premature and in some undefined way contributed to the outbreak of the present intifada. The team is also pessimistic about prospects for an agreement and fears entanglement in a drawn-out, venomous negotiation between irreconcilable parties. This, they fear, will distract them from higher priorities and embroil them in domestic political disputes that will inevitably arise when the Israeli side comes under pressure from Washington. Taken together, these are powerful incentives to stay as far away as possible. Still, the administration has been drawn in by degrees and has announced its support for the creation of a Palestinian state within the framework of institutional reform and democratic elections. If the war on terrorism is now this country's highest priority, then more vigorous and risky involvement is required. Concern over the political hazards and distractions of intervention must be subordinated to the more urgent need to defang the jihadist argument that the United States is complicit in the murder of Palestinian Muslims. Governments that suppress political dissent, fail to deliver economically, pander to Islamist activism, and encourage anti-American propaganda to stay in power, states that could fail, are also dangerous. Egypt and Saudi Arabia fall into this category. As a byproduct of their own domestic survival strategies, rulers in Cairo and Riyadh have fostered a culture that produced the militants who struck on September 11th. Together with help from other failing or failed states, they have inadvertently produced jihadists who killed thousands more Americans than any of the countries on the State Department's list of state sponsors. Failure to distinguish between Iraq and these incubators of jihad will weaken the war on terrorism and the quest for regime change in Iraq. Moreover, the close American relationship with these regimes is held against the United States and turns those who otherwise admire American values into critics or enemies. There is no easy way for Washington to distance itself from these regimes, if only because the structure of the international system of states requires governments to deal with other governments. Hence the painful reality that Washington will have to continue to deal with the regimes currently in power in Riyadh and Cairo. The United States can, however, try to renegotiate the implicit bargain that underpins its relations with both countries to encourage democratization and redeem by degrees America's reputation. Democratization, however hazardous and unpredictable the process may be, is the key to eliminating sacred terror over the long term.